Well, we're recording right now, and welcome to the Applied Spirituality Sunday Evening Live Transformational Coaching Call. I'm Kathy Kirk, creator and founder of Applied Spirituality, and I'm really glad you're here. So a few housekeeping rules before we get started with tonight's comments. Number one, everything here is proprietary information and protected by copyright. Nothing may be reproduced without expressed written consent. Number two, everything you hear discussed in this community is confidential. If you feel a need to cloak your identity to the community, by all means, use a pseudonym. Three, sharing. I continue to hold the space that at some point, very soon, you will all begin talking and voicing your opinions and situations within these calls. It's great to have open debate and take consciousness to a new level. Number four, I'm also in the process of converting our website into a membership site in order to manage the coaching community better. This past week, I had a brand new plugin installed on the site and have just taken 2 hours of training on it with more to come. So eventually, you will be migrated into the membership plugin. But I'll keep you informed in what that means to you, which is kind of virtually nothing, but in the effort to keeping everything transparent and fully disclosed. As soon as I figure out how it works, I'll tell you how it works and how you can benefit. Basically, it will just secure the membership pages better and manage a growing community. But I will keep you informed. And let's see, five, I want you to have a notebook so that you devote to these coaching calls, that you devote to these coaching calls and to yourself. In the notebook, you can talk to yourself, ask questions, receive answers, and of course, take notes. This communicating with yourself is vitally important to you, which will lead me into tonight's topic. And number six, if there is something you want to know more about, a topic that you want to talk about, you can always write to me at coach@appliedspirituality.com. These calls are for you, so tell me what you need and tell me what you want. Okay, so moving right into tonight's coaching, the topic is choosing you. Most of us in Western culture were raised to think about everyone else before ourselves. This was the promise of unselfishness. If you sacrificed yourself now, great was to be your reward later. Sacrifice in our culture is revered. We applaud those who sacrificed for country. We honor those who, quote, give up so much. We have an operating belief in the sanctity of sacrifice. So it has been our example, our belief system, our collective thought. We give trophies and awards, and we build monuments to those who sacrifice. So, just so we're on the same page, the definition of sacrifice is, one, the act of offering something to a deity in propitiation or homage, especially the ritual of slaughter of an animal or a person. Two, forfeiture of something highly valued for the sake of one considered to have a greater value. And number three, relinquishment of something at less than its presumed value. In effect, what we have been taught to do is to value someone else above ourselves, to sacrifice our needs, wants, and desires for someone else's because, quote, they are more value than we are. In fact, we are taught to do this without any real process of valuation, but on the assumption that the sacrifice, it is most valued, honored, and holy. So we have a knee-jerk action that puts us second or third or fourth or fifth. To what? Nearly everything. Children, parents, our job, our community, our nation. This automatic process, left unexamined, operates constantly and perfectly. Then pile on top of that the other ancillary collective beliefs such as, well, my country right or wrong, aging parents, the community of my church, the kids, etc., and one by one, we have relegated ourselves to last position of getting our needs, wants, and desires met. Now, why would this be fanny ass backwards in a false belief that needs to be rewritten or re-quote versed? Because it assumes your relative unimportance. It assumes your lack of value as true. So the new premise is now this. No one is more important or more valuable than you are. And so you don't freak out, I'll add the statement that everyone is equally important and valuable to the whole. Everyone is created equal. Everyone is equally important and valuable. Interesting that this is in our Bill of Rights, isn't it? What this means is that everyone has equal access to source energy. Everyone has equal response from source energy. Everyone is an equal godship, equally important, equally valuable, and equally integral to the whole of source. So the new operating belief that we need to cultivate as a people is this. I am equally important and valuable. What I think, what I feel, what I need, what I want, what I desire is important, valuable, and critical, not just to my health and happiness, but essential to the health and wellness of the whole of mankind. This new belief that you're going to cultivate within yourself is for you to believe, not for you to convince others to believe about you. Because once you are operating from within this greater knowing, people exterior to you will automatically match that vibration within you. Stop here for just a second to let that digest within you. Imagine, what if you truly believed that your contribution to the world was important and valuable? What if you truly understood how valuable you are just for being here? How would your life be different? Where would you be? Who would your friends be? Who would your lovers be? And what would you be doing? Who is now taking great good care of your contribution? Who now is answering the needs, wants, and desires of your soul? Who now is nurturing your gift to you, which is your gift to the whole? Who now has responsibility for you? Here at the very beginning is the most important and crucial step. So take this slowly and methodically, because you're going to come face to face with long-standing beliefs of thousands of years. What are these beliefs? They are that you don't matter, and they sound like this. I'm insignificant. I'm unimportant. I have nothing of value to contribute. I'm a disappointment. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not important. I'm useless. I'm without value. I have nothing to share or offer. My kids are more important. My spouse is more important. My country's more important. My religion is more important. It's wrong to be selfish. Ad nauseam. When we operate out of a belief that tells us we are nothing, that it's bad to be selfish, and what we have to contribute in any way, shape, or form is worthless, we not only deprive ourselves of our very own fulfillment, but we also deprive the world of the gift of our true self. Again, I will ask you to consider, if you are not valuing, tending, nourishing, nurturing, and contributing your gift and talents to the world, well then who will? The Maharishi Mahesh Yogi said, quote, "The important thing is this, to be able at any moment to sacrifice what we are for what we could become." For whatever reason you have come here to these calls, you may have begun a weight loss program, encountered an illness, may be facing some life challenge of any nature. You are seeking to become either more empowered, more free, more happy, and more joyful. And this is right and good and as it should be, for this is how the universe expands, evolves, and grows, through our individual seeking more good by any descriptor. The second false belief that operates within our collective consciousness that needs to be updated and reversed is the idea of selfishness. Folks, there is no way you can be anything other than selfishly oriented, because you cannot perceive anything from any other viewpoint than self. This is a beautiful thing, because through the eyes of self is your sole unique perspective, which no one else can ever know or ever give to the world, to the collective consciousness. We are like the little boy who said the emperor had no clothes. From his unique perspective, he told, quote, his truth. And so we are each empowered to see life, experiencing things, processing information from our original, individual, and unique perspective of self. It can be no other way. We are designed this way, and it should be no other way. From the way this works, we get a variety, an infinite variety of new ideas and expansion of life, adores this vast variety of choice. From this unique view of self, we ask for what is perceived to be needed, wanted, and desired, and thus the entire universe expands elegantly. Also inherent in this idea of perspective of self or selfishness is that in order to be giving the joyful gift of you to the whole, you have to be valuing it and not making yourself wrong for desiring what you desire, creating what you wish to create, and living the life you wish to live. But before anything can or will change, there is a fundamental brick at the foundation of you that must either be replaced or repaired or shored up or perhaps even put into place for the very first time. And this brick is your commitment to you. Your commitment to you. We make commitments all the time. Commitments are promises that we intend to fulfill. These range from small things like promising to take out the trash, to large things like signing up for the military or getting married. We make a commitment to a spouse, to a family, to nation, job, religion, friends, and all manner of causes. We are happily being committed to something that in fulfilling that commitment makes us feel good. We feel focused. We feel a member of something, like we belong to something larger than ourselves. We feel productive, purposeful, and useful. And these are all very good things, to be sure. But here's a newsflash. Making a commitment to yourself is all of that and more. We are already a member of the whole of consciousness. And when we make a commitment to be who we really are, and contribute the fullness of our true self to the whole, we have not just committed to our joy and happiness, but to the joy and well-being of the whole. This is not the me, me, me selfishness which comes from human ego or human mind. It's not shoving in line to be first, taking the biggest slice of pizza, grabbing for what's yours or what you think ought to be yours. This is moving from the knowing, the belief, that well-being is, and I am the fullness of that. I don't need what they have, because the universe has the ability to yield to everyone everything they ask for, including me. To get to this place of consciousness where you are living in the reality of fullness, you have to start with a very basic step, which is being your own best friend, your closest ally, your truest love, your most valued advisor, and cheerleader. What I'm talking about is being so for yourself that there is nothing in the world that you could ever do that would cause you to forsake yourself, hate yourself, or diminish yourself even in the slightest. You must believe the new idea that there is nothing wrong with you. There is nothing broken and nothing that needs to be fixed. The you of you is perfect and valuable, and you must stop making yourself bad and wrong. We can best identify how this feels as perhaps the way we feel about our children or a beloved pet. I can remember when I first saw my son. My heart sprang open so wide that it physically hurt. I was blasted by such a wave of love that it nearly knocked me over. I had no idea that kind of love existed. I had no idea of it whatsoever, and I'd always thought of myself as a loving person. Imagine now having such a bolt of love go through you, cracking your heart so far open, but this time it is for you. Imagine you're feeling this kind of love and cherishing for yourself. How would this change your life? How would this uproot, overturn, and negate the belief that now operates within your human mind about yourself as unworthy, undeserving, useless, worthless, powerless, or an unimportant creature? What if, in one fell swoop, you felt this utter, incomplete love and appreciation for you? How then would you regard your needs, wants, and desires? Certainly, if your child wanted something, if it is within your power, you know you would do it. I knew that in that moment when I saw my son, I would throw myself in front of a bus for him, walk over burning coals, go without, because I simply loved him that much. Now, what if you felt the same way about yourself? This begins with making a personal commitment to you. Our focus for this week: number one, write a statement of love and commitment to yourself. Make this agreement with yourself and do it as if you were making this promise to your spouse, to a child, to God, to country, or any other cause that you deem worthy. Write it out. You promise to love, cherish, and support you no matter what. You promise to see the beauty and value of yourself no matter what. You promise to nourish and nurture the gift of you to the world and give it best you know how to by being and becoming fully you. Number two, consider what that would be like if you felt unconditional love for yourself. Take your notebook and answer the questions. If I loved myself unconditionally, how would my life be different? Take up the question every day in a new way. How would I live? Who would I hang with? What decisions would I be making? What thoughts would I be thinking? What do I appreciate about me? What do I love and adore about me? What do I value about me? All the big things, all the small things. Make lists. Number three, make lists of the things you really love and appreciate about yourself. Every day, add at least 5 things to the list, with absolutely no repetition. Keep looking and finding those things, those qualities, those ways you see life and do things and do life that make you unique and wonderful. Promise to look for the bigness of you, the beauty of you, the joy of you, the wonder of you, the wisdom of you, and take them to your heart. Number four, breathe. Use your breath. Your breath is the thing that most connects you to your vast non-physical self, that 96% of you that is non-physical and is source and is well-being. Your breath connects and enlivens you not just with oxygen, but with source energy, which is who you really are. Use your breath, before and after each writing period. I want you to sit quietly and breathe in and out, focusing only on your breath. Breathe in to the count of 4 and out to the count of 8, and do this for at least 3 minutes. B, periodically throughout your day. A good time is when you take your bathroom break. Sit quietly and breathe for 3 minutes, focusing only on your breath, emptying your mind, coming back into alignment with your vast 96% non-physical source self. C, do this breathing exercise before you go to sleep. D, frequently throughout your day, give yourself compliments. Speak words of love to yourself. Give yourself attaboys, well dones, and mental hugs, just as you would your child or your pet. E. Remember the best of you is your heart's desires, and for this reason we are coming to love and appreciate the fullness of who we are, not just the physical and mental human mind we think we are, but the vast non-physical self that is focused into your physical body. And F. Imagine the vastness of you. Invite that soul of you into your human mind and your human body and feel how good you feel to yourself. During the 20th century, psychology became an integral focus of our society as the next step in the evolution of mankind. Psychology undertook to understand the parts of our mind and how we think, perceive, and execute a life. It became, however, a study in what is wrong with people. It is a morass of psychosis, neurosis, and pathology. This is not who we are, but when we are focused there, according to the law of attraction, we will see more of that and become more of that, for what we focus on becomes bigger. After a while, even after years of focusing on what's wrong with us, we become exhausted and defeated at the prospect of ever becoming well, functioning, let alone happy. Psychology is a useless pursuit. This is why I want you to start looking for what's right, good, and full about you. I want you to start looking for and experiencing the goodness of you, the joy of you, the wonder and infinitude of you. As you focus more on the good stuff, these symptoms of wrongness will fade from lack of nourishment. They will become vague and distant memories. What of taking pharmaceuticals for chemical imbalances? By all means, keep taking them until you feel you don't need them any longer. Your devotion to upholding yourself and loving and appreciating yourself will literally change the chemistry in your body. This is how powerful you are. In fact, we are so powerful that we can change our own DNA. But for now, take the challenge. Make the commitment to and for you, loving you. Do the exercises daily. Remind yourself of your vastness. Tap into your larger self, bringing more and more of it into your mind and body, and watch your own progress. Prove to yourself that you are the creator of your own experience. The more you do this, the better your mind gets, the more well your experience, and one day you'll find yourself cutting your meds in half and then letting them go. Or you might find yourself now exercising or taking an herb rather than a prescription. And then one day, you'll just be you again, restored to your natural good health, mentally and physically. And what does this? Love. Your constant and persistent focus on loving and appreciating yourself. That's what. The side benefits are legion. As you do this for yourself, you begin seeing the God in everyone else, giving them the benefit of the doubt. And easily, your basket is now so full that it spills over to everyone around you. Where once you were giving out of duty and oughts and shoulds from a place of emptiness, now you are giving easily from abundance and fullness. It's a journey that begins with choosing you and making a promise and commitment to love the fullness of you. Okay, those are my comments for this evening. Are there any comments or questions from you? You can unmute yourself using *6. Okay, while you're mustering your courage in formulating your questions or comments, I'm going to proceed. I had 3 come through this week through the internet. This question is from Donald in Westlake. Donald writes, "My son, who is 23, moved back into the house in order to recover from drug addiction. He's on a methadone program. Right now, I'm footing the bill. He can't seem to find a job, and I find myself at odds with myself about his recovery. Am I able to trust him to do what he's supposed to be doing? Am I being a fool? Should I set boundaries and rules? At every turn, I'm in a mental war with myself. Can you comment on this situation and help me? I want to help him. The one thing I want you to know is that when he proposed his moving back in with me a few months ago, I had a great sense of well-being rush over me. I was then certain that this was the path I should travel. It's gotten very bumpy. Can you help? Thanks, Donald. This is a really enormous question and an enormous undertaking, not just for you, but your son. So I really, truly honor you both and thank you for the question. I have a sense that you realize a great opportunity here for your own freedom. I want you to honor you for honoring your feeling of yes when your son proposed his moving in with you. It is no different than marriage, is it? We say yes, and we are on a journey of learning how to stay connected to ourselves, no matter what. There are many, many things you can be doing, but none is more important than your staying aligned with yourself, your source, finding your alignment and your joy, and refinding it over and over and over again. With respect to your son, make lists of things that you admire and love about him. No one is more capable of doing this than a parent. You already know who he really is, don't you? All you have to do is remember, reactivate the vibrations of him when he was clear and connected, maybe at 3 or 2 or 7 or 8. Make lists and lists of him, past, present, or future, of his being his true self. Perhaps you remember him learning to ride a bike or playing ball or coloring. What are those events and those times that give rise to the feeling in you of his perfection and well-being in his beautiful self? Work on your own alignment with respect to him first. Stop looking at what's not happening or what you think is wrong. I'm sure you're already finding that exhausting. So let that go and spend your mental effort looking for all the things about your son that are full, right, beautiful, good, and wise. Make them up if you have to, and make those vibrations about him the active ones in you with respect to him. Then, keeping and finding your own alignment with yourself as to what makes you feel good. Is it your playing ball, listening to music, reading a book, raking the yard? Continue being your true, authentic self, and allow him to gravitate up to your vibration of well-being. Don't alter, fix, or descend in your vibration. Do not sacrifice your sense of well-being for anything or anyone. Try this for a week and see if this doesn't just change things and let us know. The second question is from Suzanne in Richmond, Virginia. Suzanne writes, I have questions about money. You say we create the whole of our own reality, yet the economy is in a pretty bad place with not so many jobs available. How can our well-being financially not be connected to the bigger picture? How can I find abundance in an economy that is weak? Well, good question, Suzanne, and thank you for asking it. I've been wondering when anyone would get around to asking about dollars and abundance. Abundance is a whole subject contained within the notion of fullness and well-being. Suffice it to say that realizing your oneness with Source, yourself, in loving the fullness of who you are, embraces abundance. And like I've indicated before, as you live the normal course of your life, you'll just stumble upon the limiting beliefs you have as you reach for more in your personal experience. So let's say you're finding one of those right now, something like the world's economy or the American economy seems to be affecting your belief in your own abundance. So you know that's a false and limiting belief. It does not have to operate within you. However, as long as you believe it, it is activated and it will affect your realization of your well-being and your abundance. There are some pretty powerful contrasts going on right now in order to awaken people. The John and Jane Does, like us, out of our old limiting beliefs. One of these contrasts is the failure of large bureaucracies to do what we want them to do, like create jobs or give us health care. These must crumble in order for the individual to regain the power they've given away to external sources of supply. But we are remembering that we are our own supply. The giant, larger you, the infinite, invisible you, the 96% non-physical you, all that separates you from the realization of your abundance is your own limiting belief. Now, many of these are collective beliefs as well, ones that we believe as a nation or as a society, and remember that a belief is only a thought that we've thought for a very long time. If we believe it, it is true for us and proven to us by the law of attraction matching us. The idea then is to shift to what we truly believe so that the law of attraction can match us in that new unlimited belief. I would start with a period of great poverty, such as the Depression, and find proof that there were individuals during that time that made great wealth during a time when everyone else was suffering. I would look at a time of, say, the plague, when many died, yet others thrived. Something within these individuals was aligned with well-being, and they were open to receiving the well-being, the inspirations, the innovations that led them into prosperity and into health, while all the other masses were not. While others contract in fear, others expand into possibility. Right now is a time when John and Jane Doe have the opportunity to expand into infinite possibility. That's the moment of individual choice to resist well-being and contract, or to expand and allow, releasing your fear. So I'd ask myself, what is limiting me? Do I think my well-being comes from jobs supplied by someone else? What do I want to do? What do I want to be experiencing? Then move your focus into realizing what you desire, not what is. Imagine, feel it. Notice how abundant you already are in so many ways. Look for possibility, opportunity, and keep doing those exercises of loving yourself and commitment to yourself. You cannot spend 90% of your focus on what is and expect to see a shift in what is. You must shift your internal vibration so that the universe can match that. This is where your commitment to you comes in. You have to value how you feel above everything else, for nothing else matters in the end, because the laws of the universe operate in this way. What you think equals what you feel equals your vibrational countenance, and the universe is going to match that. So if you have your hand on the stove, it's hot and painful, and you keep it there, you'll get more and more discomfort. When you're finally sick of feeling the pain of that discomfort, then you'll take your hand off the stove, get some ice, and start feeling better. And this is when your external experience will shift, when you make the choice for you to start feeling good and changing how you feel and think about things. We will do future coaching calls on abundance in more depth. Thank you for your question. And finally, a question from Charlotte in Charlotte. I have elderly parents who are not so able to care for themselves as they have been in the past. I would like to travel and have new life adventures, but feel the responsibility to stay here in Charlotte where I can take more and better care of them. Yet this doesn't feel good to me either. It makes me feel sad to think that. I don't want to get to the end of my life and resent having given these years to them. What do I do? It looks like an either or. Well, good for you, Charlotte, for noticing that the either or quality of what you're telling yourself. That's when you can be certain that this is a condition of human mind and not divine mind. Let's start by reminding all of us that the universe has the ability to deliver to you everything you want and they want at the same time. There are no limitations. Let's also remind you that your folks are godships as well, with equal access to source energy, their own internal guidance system, and they have the ability to create what they need, what they want, and what they desire as well. In short, you are not the only portal from which their well-being can be supplied. You can also have an adventure, Charlotte, and never leave your hometown. What is required is that you come into alignment with what you need, want, and desire for your life experience and allow it in. Identify what you essentially want to feel. What would that look like and what would it feel like to you? Meanwhile, the universe is going to meet your parents' requests for what they need, want, and desire, as long as they are allowing it in as well. I'm glad you were on tonight's call about sacrifice and selfishness. I'm certain that as you work with your journal and get clear about what it is you want, come to love yourself more, you will see how magically these things get worked out for the good of all. Everyone's good is always at play every moment. For now, you continue to work on your own clarity, your love of self, and see your folks perfectly taken care of and happy. Make that vision as real as you can to you, and what that looks like. Then check back with us here. Your main work is expanding yourself into the idea that they create their own good and it doesn't have to be at the expense of your good. How is not your work? Your work is to find relief from the limiting belief that keeps your hand on the stove. Let go. Trust. See how powerful they are. See how powerful you are. And work on feeling better about infinite possibilities and infinite solutions. Okay, folks, those are the questions that I have tonight. If you have anything else, I'm open to hearing your comments and questions. Okay, well, if there's no more comments and no more questions for tonight, then I'm going to close the call. And I want to thank you for being here tonight. I also want to leave you with a reminder from my non-physical group, my friends that say, tell me to tell you, you are loved beyond measure. You have nothing to fear and you have nothing to worry about. This week, please choose yourself. Do the exercises that were outlined in tonight's focus and move forward, using every moment as a choice point to do it differently, to expand your consciousness and to grow into the person, into the being that you truly are. Thanks for being here tonight. And until next week, this is Kathy Kirk. Good night.